What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Yalla. Your thrice weekly podcast where we talk about the hottest news with a touch of what, Terrence?
Good old humor.
Good old humor, man.
Yeah.
What's different this week, Terrence?
Energy is lower.
Energy is lower.
Since Taylor Swift left.
Things are less shimmery.
Yeah, less glittery.
Less glittery.
Everyone's back to their normal lives, having hangovers.
Yeah, apparently on Saturday, the Cat 100 seats like at Tanjung Rhu, you know, were packed to the max, man.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
So where were people? Where's this Cat 100 seats at Tanjung Rhu exactly?
It's, you know, there's a bridge that connects the Kallang Sports Hub to the across the water body. So there's a huge grass patch there where all those condos are. Apparently, that was full and all the roads were jammed up.
Wow. Crazy. Ah,
crazy, man.
And her, but from what I understand, she left quite quickly after her final concert as well, right? People were tracking her private plane.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think, I'm not sure. I mean, I'm not 100% sure, but I think like by 1 a.m. she was gone already or something like that.
And then now she's on a break for 2 months.
Yeah. Two months break. Then, but now the era's, the concert experience is coming out on Disney Plus.
Oh, yeah.
Shortly. Like a matter of days, lah.
Yeah.
Just nice, lah. Timing's perfect.
And what's the that whole thing about? It's just gonna be covering like one concert.
Yeah, I think it's the recorded experience of the concert, lah.
Oh.
But not the Singapore one, but like Singapore. One of the US ones, lah. Yeah.
Walao.
So yeah, for those of you with a hangover, you can still check it out.
I'm sure people are having Taylor Swift withdrawals, lah.
Withdrawal.
Yeah, withdrawal.
I don't know, man. Like it's just been non-stop, lah.
But if you're like a hardcore Swiftie fan, you know, like for 1 week, the whole country is like just as obsessed with your idol as you are.
Correct.
So yeah. I can imagine the it's like anything you do, you go for holiday, you come back, you feel like, that was like, last week was like a holiday, like, you know, for the Swifties.
I think the bigger thing is that it feels validating. It feels like your identity as a Swiftie is validated by the rest of the world. Can't say the same of a lot of other hobbies that people have, right? A lot of times you know, I like this obscure little band or something like that. People are like, huh? What is it? Don't understand, you know?
Oh, yeah,
it's like, oh, your existence is sort of like, you question your existence. But for Swifties, it's like, it was like a whole thing last week.
And this true, because of you, given the total number of Swifties around the world, for that 1 week, right, you know, you amongst all Swifties are in the same country as Taylor Swift. It's almost like your moment to shine.
And you bet on the right horse, right? Yeah. You support this person.
Bet on the right horse.
Just like everyone else, right?
You know?
You all supported the same person since day one.
And then, of course, there was an onslaught of proposals that happened the last few nights.
I mentioned that, people during the Love Story, the song Love Story, right?
Yeah, one verse, but one line particularly, right?
Baby, just say yes. Right, obviously,
yes. I don't know the lyrics. I don't know the lyrics.
How can you not know the lyrics?
I know there's one or two lines that have to do with marriage or saying yes.
Even Lawrence Wong has been playing Taylor Swift songs on his guitar and inviting people to duet with him on social media. Yeah, you didn't see this.
I didn't see.
It was a big thing. Like, he was like, he would play the instrumental of each of these songs. Then people would be, you know, use the remix function on social media and sing along with it. Yeah. And then he posted some of those clips.
I didn't see. Wow.
Yeah, so everyone
Wong,
Not everyone's jumping on the bandwagon. If Lawrence Wong is doing it, of course you should be doing it too, right?
That's what it says. Even our TikTok blew past 4K, finally.
I wouldn't you say blew past
4K.
Blew past 4K is like your standard's very low.
That's true. It's another 1,000 that we broke through. In part because of the videos we released talking about Taylor Swift over the weekend.
Yeah, and not positive things also. Right?
Yeah,
I think we were quite down about a lot of the things.
Yeah, maybe just objective. I wouldn't say negative also.
I wouldn't say negative, but you know the exuberance the country was
feeling.
Debbie Downers.
Debbie Downers. Debbie Downers.
Making fun of it. But there were a lot of angry comments. So those people following us also are probably following us to shit on us.
Which I also want to share later in podcast.
But I mean, overall for you, like, how do you feel? I mean, for me, it was quite interesting to see. I took the MRT, I would see Swifties on the trains, you know, glitter in their face and everything. And it looked completely normal. It's like, they're going to a Taylor Swift concert. Or I see a mother and a child, you know, carrying Taylor Swift bags going somewhere.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, okay, they're going to the concert. But no more already. That's over. How do you feel about that?
I will miss it. For that 1 week, it really felt like there's something that is captivating the whole country.
Correct, for better
or worse.
Yeah.
So I enjoyed it. As much as I was a Debbie Downer for certain things,
yeah,
I still enjoyed it.
I don't consider ourselves Debbie Downers. In fact, we were just providing commentary, like alongside. We were like, it's like a companion, like companion commentary. This thing that's going on. And one day we'll look back in history and be like, you know, the kids who grew up this era, they'll be like, oh yeah, I'm trying to recall what it was like. And other than just reading newspapers and all that, you can listen to two middle-aged men talk about
exactly
the experience of watching young people enjoy Taylor Swift, right?
Yeah. What two better people to listen to, man? Exactly. Talk about this, yeah, exactly. Yeah. One of whom doesn't know the lyrics to the songs.
Correct, yeah. That's right, yeah.
But I mean, now we are gearing up for who? Bruno Mars?
I don't know. Is there even a gearing up process for that? Like, is that
tough shoes to follow?
I don't even feel any. Yeah, I don't feel real buzz about that as much, right?
I think this week definitely there'll still be some Taylor Swift, weaning off the Taylor Swift Kool-Aid. Yeah. But I don't know. I don't think there'll be as much buzz for him coming.
Okay. I mean, you think about it, not just Taylor Swift, Lisa from Blackpink.
Yeah.
Her boyfriend, Travis Kelce, is it?
Mm.
And then his buddies all came down. A lot of people, celebrities also showed up to watch her concert in Singapore.
Ray Dalio also.
Ah, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, you found out from LinkedIn. Ng Kok Song.
LinkedIn. No, okay. He posted a picture of him talking about how, you know, Taylor Swift is doing more to unite countries and establish peace than anything else.
I see.
Very LinkedIn worthy.
Got it. I'm going to stop you right there before you make a fool of yourself. It's Ray Dalio,
my friend. Ray Dalio.
As Ng Kok Song, like,
come on. Yeah, Ray Dalio. Correct. Yeah. Not Dalio.
You Dalio. Single-handedly making Singaporeans sound like morons.
Who's your friend, Ray Dalio? Ray Dalio. Dalio.
Ray Dalio.
Ray Dalio.
Yes.
I apologize, Ray Dalio.
Yeah. No, so I was going to say is I think, it made Singapore is like pretty exciting, right?
Last week,
that celebrities are being cited here. They're attending concerts and not just like holding their own concerts and all.
Yeah. Interesting.
Interesting period.
Interesting.
And we blew past 4,000 on TikTok. Whoa. Hot damn. Yeah.
Hot damn, man.
Yeah.
Slowly but surely.
Bit by bit.
Bit by bit.
Yes.
Even this week, the news, there's still news.
Mm.
But it's free of Taylor Swift.
Yeah, it is.
Right,
it is.
Free of Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
First time in a long time. Huh?
Yeah. I'll admit, our social media is flooded with Taylor Swift things right now.
Mm.
After a while, I also was cringing at myself for posting some of these things. I'm sure you were feeling
it. Yeah, I think yesterday was the last one, right? I was like, okay, finally, it's sunset already. Sunset.
I was like,
rode the wave.
Yeah.
Maybe sunset.
Let me just get this last one out of my system, even though Taylor Swift has left the country.
I won't deny is when I saw the post on the Instagram go up, because you post on Instagram, I was like, fuck, okay, I should post on TikTok as well.
You have to, yeah.
I have to. You have to keep to it, man. Keep to the schedule.
Yeah. But, related to that, those people who are new to us because of Taylor Swift, welcome. We're not Swifties by any measure, but we run a podcast 3 times a week that talks about current affairs. And thank you for subscribing or following us. But what should they do if they want to support what we do?
If you enjoy this podcast or any of the podcasts in the past, it'd be great if you could introduce us to maybe one person who has not heard of us and follow us on all the social media. And if you want to work with us, you know, say hi, where should they go, Terrence?
Oh, this is a new one. Now, please go to ministryoffunny.com.
Hell yeah, man.
Yeah. That's where you can find all the information you need about us and even find a way to contact us or leave angry comments on our social media. You can do it all there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Do it and we'll get it right in our inbox.
Yeah, ministryoffunny.com.
Yep.
Just remember, it's two Fs, right?
Two Fs.
The off and the funny is not one F. Yeah, it's two Fs.
Yes, correct. Yes, yeah. Two Fs.
That's right.
Cool, man.
But jumping to our first topic, post Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
This one's a pretty interesting one. But what is this topic about?
I mean, it's not earth-shattering by any means.
Mm.
But a couple of days ago, on Saturday, I guess, 9th March, or more specifically, it was on 8th March at 6:50. So 6:50 p.m. on a Friday, the Italian ambassador of Italy to Singapore, Dante Brandi, posted something on Facebook that took issue with a restaurant in Singapore and a certain event they were planning. Basically, there's this restaurant, Goti Singapore. And they were holding this event called Hip Hop Mafioso on Friday at 8th March. And they titled it a hip hop DJ takeover to take you from dining to dancing. And the poster featured Tupac and Snoop Dogg. Two greats, right? But basically he posted saying something that, you know, mafia is not what my country is proud of. People have died and suffered because of it, and most importantly, people have died and are still dying and are suffering to fight it. Naming your club after an infamous criminal family and catching clients with a hip-hop mafioso night is certainly not illegal, but allow me to say it's definitely of a dubious taste.
So he
ended up saying, I genuinely believe the world can be spared from your additional literature on the subject. With kind regards, Dante Brandi. And the context is, the event, it references the mafia. And the name of the restaurant also, Gotti, apparently Gotti is, he was a prominent figure in the 1980s and 90s and involved in several trials and convicted of 5 murders in 1992. He passed away in prison in 2002. Basically a mob boss lah, from the Gambino family. So that came out on Friday, and since then the restaurant has responded. But before we get into that, when did you first catch wind of this?
Instagram, social media.
Was it before the restaurant responded?
Yes, before the restaurant responded.
And what was your initial thought?
I do not know anything about Gotti, the name Gotti, or very much about mafia families and all. But I just remember that there was something similar that happened before, like in Singapore, where I think there was a restaurant that was named after Pablo Escobar, the drug kingpin of Colombia. And subsequently another one called Pablo's Kitchen as well. So yeah, and then it did prompt some outrage from Colombian officials, right?
Yeah, correct.
It's not the first time something like that has happened, but Escobar I know lah. The one is quite, you know, it popularized through shows on Netflix like Narcos and all. But I did not know about Gotti. It made me go on a bit of a Wikipedia deep dive into the Gambino family a little bit.
And what did that yield?
I mean, nothing that is of particular, you know, significant interest to, you know, all the way here in Singapore, right? Because primarily they were based in New York and everything. But definitely not as well known to the extent of Escobar. How about you? How do you hear of this?
I heard about it also, I think, over the weekend, maybe Saturday or Friday night. And I also was like, I found it, not to say, initially I was a bit like, oh, this is pretty funny. But then, of course, you don't want to trivialize stuff that you don't understand or don't understand the significance of. So I can see where the ambassador is coming from. What I found surprising is that the next day, Gotti, the restaurant, they responded on that very Facebook post and they were very apologetic. And if I quote them as, Dear Ambassador Dante Brandi, we deeply appreciate your perspective and understand the concerns you have raised regarding our branding and event names. Please accept our sincerest apology for any offense or discomfort caused. And went on to say, you know, feedback is invaluable, taken steps to address the matter. Apparently, by 8 p.m. that night itself, they removed all mentions of it online. So the event still went on. I found it quite surprising, like, how apologetic they were. Because I remember when that Escobar thing came out, he refused to change the name. He just changed the logo.
That's right.
And then he filed a police report against the death threats and all. But this one, I mean, in some ways, it's a smart thing to do. Because the moment they apologize, it kind of case closed already.
That's right.
But then I was thinking, like, do they even have to apologize? That one, I don't know.
That's true lah. We don't really know. But I mean, my most immediate thought was like, were they apologizing because it was affecting their business? Like, is the Italian, you know, Italians diaspora. In Singapore, yeah, the diaspora in Singapore, are they a very important demographic of their business that, you know, they couldn't risk offending them, right? But then I thought about it, but Italian food in general is already transcended, you know, just serving a diaspora, right? Italian food really is a thing that is exported throughout the world. There's so many fusion elements of Italian food, you know, that chili crab pasta or anything like that. It's very hard to, I mean, I don't think it's that exclusively trying to serve Italian clientele, for sure. I think everyone like has eaten some form of pasta before, right? So yeah, I was kind of puzzled, like how come they were so immediate, they're so quick to apologize or so.
I think because I don't know whether it's the Italian diaspora they're serving. Because the thing is, you know, when you read up on the restaurant reviews and all, at the core of the offering itself is, I'm reading this food review, Gotti Italiano is a swanky mafia-inspired Italian restaurant serving smoky Neapolitan pizza, pasta, and cocktails. And then it says that, which brands itself intimately theatrical and passionately loud, celebrates the life of John Joseph Gotti, an American gangster and boss of the Gambino crime family in New York City. So it feels like it is part of the branding.
It's glamorizing the mob link, right?
Yeah, the mob link. So, I don't know, like, I would also imagine, you know, like Escobar, right?
Yeah.
It was a bar after all.
Yeah.
They were not serving Colombian cocktails or Colombian cuisine.
They might have been. We don't know, right?
Okay, definitely not Colombian food, lah.
I don't know. I thought they were a restaurant also, yeah.
They were a restaurant also.
Yeah, restaurant slash.
Because I know they closed down already, right?
Yeah. But Pablo's Kitchen also, was serving food for sure.
It's Colombian, is it?
I don't know whether Colombian, but you can...
Because, you know, like, as much as ubiquitous as Italian food is,
yes,
I think Italian food, of everything I've heard and seen, there's a lot of pride in the food, you know?
Okay.
For amongst the Italians or Italian culture. And it's almost like how you say it feels like it commands or deserves respect, la.
Yeah.
So in this case, I can imagine if the ambassador says this, maybe for the restaurant to survive also. I mean, restaurants survive based on reviews and even word of mouth, right? If in an industry like restaurants where you know there's a lot of the underbelly, maybe if they want to spread tarnish the reputation of this restaurant, right, it could happen, lah. So maybe that's why they're like, oh, we better apologize.
Tarnish for who?
For the restaurant. If they are kind of offending the Italian cultural gatekeepers, they might do themselves a disservice, lah. So this is like what you say, maybe it's because business is affected. I think maybe the future business might be affected, or maybe... Yeah. Like, have you tried cooking Italian food?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, you know, there's all the cheeses and the guanciale and all this kind of stuff. Whatever you get in Singapore and all, it's not the freshest, but if you have a supplier in Italy, you know, who's exporting you this guanciale that is cured to the max, and then they say, no, I don't want.
But...
I know that's a very speculative kind of thing.
It is, and I say that because it's... you could say that the reverse effect, all right? That them talking about this restaurant now, actually, for the first time I've heard of this restaurant, the Streisand effect at work, right? And made me go and look up the cuisine and the pictures, everything. And like, ooh, edgy, you know, like it's offending people, you know, like now there's a reason to go and check out the place, right? And it's not that we support the mafia boss or anything like that. It's literally just like, oh, this place is in the news, let's go check it out, right? So would it, part of the reason that I was surprised that the restaurant apologized so quickly was, could it be that they are not thinking about they're not cognizant that, hey, you know, there's a bit of a Streisand effect here, and you know, if sticking to my guns or just insisting that we did not do anything wrong, which technically they did not do anything wrong, right? That might actually lead to more business, amongst non-Italians, possibly. So maybe that's something that they haven't thought about. Or maybe it's just, I don't know who the bosses of Gotti SG are. Maybe someone is really Italian and realized, like, I don't want to offend my ambassador, my country's ambassador. And all.
Yeah, I tried finding who the founders of Gotti are, but I can only find a head chef. Gotti. I mean, I know on the ambassador's Facebook post, a lot of people responding, I assume was Italian, because he was like, grazie ambasciatore, bravo Dante. So
you don't.
I know. I was just gonna say
this. You're literally talking about people who are talking about offending Italian culture. Yeah, I was gonna say, like, and here you are like making mamma mia kind of comments and all that, making fun.
I mean, okay, I didn't like. Okay, so. That's true. I didn't mean to make fun of the accent. I was just saying it like how I have imagined it or say it. I apologize if any Italians listening and I totally butchered.
Say it with a Singaporean accent, then you can't be cancelled. La Mafia ay una montanga di something.
Okay,
like
okay,
that.
Yeah, something like that. But I can imagine the ambassador's perspective, because let's say he was getting pinged by other Italians living in Singapore.
Yeah, yeah.
In some way, yeah la, he has to make a stand la, you know. I don't know how strongly he believes in it, but it's one of those roles as a diplomat la, I think.
Yeah.
So I mean, in some sense, you know, Gotti apologizing, maybe they knew they got some publicity and they just nip it in the bud.
Yep, perhaps.
Yeah, nip it in the bud. Because then you can't fault them, right?
Yeah.
The only thing, I don't know how they're going to change their branding.
Correct. Unless change the whole name of the restaurant.
Yeah, which is also weird.
Yeah. I mean, like one of the comments by, I guess, a Chinese Singaporean here saying, tone deaf, try to pose as Paikia. You really have family name Gotti as the restaurant founder, man? Playing cool and treat the real mafia threat and disease as the stylo Milo in Singapore. If you cannot real mafia hunt down your business, it will not be funny anymore, right or not? You are sia sui for the real Italian community in Singapore. Even the need for ambassador himself need to admonish you. Definitely, I will boycott you nor recommend you. Don't death! So, yeah, there are some Singaporeans who apparently very outraged by Gotti's naming of the restaurant and the hip-hop mafioso night. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, online, on Reddit, I saw a lot of people are saying like, why is it the ambassador's business to, you know, to do this lah? Like, I mean, ultimately this is Singapore. We are so far removed from whatever affairs there are in the rest of the world, in Italy, like, right? Or even America, right?
Mm.
Why do we have to be so sensitive to the nuances of those cultures here? Lah?
But I mean, after all he did was just post on Facebook, right? It was not like Escobar where the Colombian embassy actually reached out to the Ministry of Foreign Affairs.
True.
Yeah. Right. It's just a Facebook post.
True.
Like, let's say if it was flipped, right? What's the most, like, there's nothing in Singapore that would compare to the mafia in Italy and the people who have been hurt by it. But what, like, what would be a thing in Singapore? Like the Japanese occupation?
Secret societies. There have been secret societies in Singapore.
Like and someone opens up a cafe, 36, whatever.
369, yeah. 369. It wouldn't be allowed. Yeah. It's, I think straight
but overseas,
wouldn't be allowed.
Overseas,
yeah. It might be allowed overseas.
Yeah, it'd probably be allowed, right?
Yeah.
So then would you feel as a Singaporean,
yeah,
you have no right to name your restaurant this because you are trivializing the horrors that happened back home?
No. I don't think, yeah. It's not really, especially if they're overseas in another country. It's not really my place to tell them what they can or can't do, like, right?
Mm.
Might not be the best taste. Like, I wouldn't do it myself. But to each their own, right? Like I wouldn't bother with it. Like, yeah. But I'm not the ambassador to the country.
Yeah, you're not
either,
an ambassador.
Right? Like, I don't have... Like, I think as an ambassador, it comes with certain kinds of responsibilities that to lay people like us, it seems like it's... I mean, it's just... It's just surface talk, right? It's just they have to do these things.
Diplomacy,
yeah, diplomacy. And one of them is like, if there's anything offensive about your country in the country of residence that you're in, they have to say something or do something.
Mm.
If not through official channels, then at least express your disappointment or outrage on social media, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I guess my question is like, then shouldn't someone be going after Danny Glover for calling himself Childish Gambino, for example, as his stage name as a musician? Why is there no outrage? I've not seen any outrage there about that, like, as far as I know. Right.
But he's saying Childish, right?
So?
He's not saying like handsome Gambino or smart Gambino. He's like, hey, Childish.
But you will be hearing people say, oh, I love Childish Gambino. Isn't that like a positive connotation to the word Gambino?
That's true. Like.
Right. Yeah, you love
Childish Gambino. I love Childish Gambino, yeah.
So the words literally, the word love and Gambino literally.
I never knew Gambino was part of like a family.
I never knew. Apparently, and I was looking it up, apparently he used some word generator to come up with that name, like Danny Glover himself.
Is it?
Yeah. So it's just completely like quite random, yeah. But yeah, so why are they not going after that when he's in America, where it's much closer to what the Gambino family has done?
Mm. And you sure there hasn't been any backlash towards his name?
I'm not sure. This is just my surface level research, right?
Yeah.
But the fact that he's still using it and there's no you know, outrage or protest over it.
I can imagine anything. This being like just something people raised up to the ambassador, and then the ambassador kind of put a statement on it. And I think I also have to acknowledge that every country the freedom to express what you feel is also different.
Correct.
I would imagine in the US, if I don't know, the Italian ambassador to the US says something against Childish Gambino, I can't imagine people taking to it lightly. They'd be like, just shut up, okay?
Yeah.
The you could argue that countries need the US more than the US needs them. So in this case, I think it's one of those things that is just hard. I don't know. I think this will just die off after a few days.
Yeah.
The funniest comment I saw on Reddit was like, Al Capone's just keeping silent. Then I was like, hey, what? So Al Capone, he was also, he was known as the Scarface.
Yeah.
He was an American gangster and businessman who attained notoriety in the Prohibition era. So, and there are a lot of Al Capones in Singapore.
If you look at Al Capone, it's all about happy hour, about, spend, 10 places to spend.
Al Capone's just keeping still.
Yeah, but just staying on online comments, like I said, there were a lot of people, I'm assume local Singaporeans or residents, who were saying that, essentially they were saying, stay in your lane, why make this a thing, Because, and they point out that apparently there was a real mobster, convicted murderer, everything, Salvatore Buzzi, who set up Buzzi's Burgers in Rome. And it's the idea of a restaurant came, and I quote the news article, that the idea for this restaurant came to him during his most recent stint in prison. And so he's not trying to distance himself from his criminal past. And he has explicitly even stated that he'll charge like government officials or policemen more to go to his restaurant. And it's really like, apparently like celebrating the life of mobsters, this Buzzi's Burgers. And it's just operating in Rome itself, So people are saying if your own people are, celebrating, or at least like mobsters are literally setting up like restaurants in Rome, why pick on a restaurant in faraway Singapore, right? And make a fuss about this mob boss family that honestly most people don't know about that, right?
But maybe that's just one of those things where I can do it, you cannot.
I meaning?
Like let's say if I were to set up a restaurant called Keling's Kway Teow. Right? Versus you setting up a restaurant called Keling's Kway Teow. Right. So, do you even dare say your restaurant name is
Keling? No comment. I just keep quiet. No comment.
Yeah, if I set up, I'm like, come to Keling's Kway Teow. People will be like, oh, okay, there's someone owning the derogatory term. But if you set it up, even I'll be like, Terrence, are you sure or not? You want to call it Keling's Kway Teow? You should call it something else.
Correct. But it's not an issue of race or identity, right? It's an issue of
culture.
No, but how you treat criminals in your own country versus elsewhere, right? On a larger scale, people talk about the Cuban resistance leader Che Guevara, right?
Mm.
A lot of times you see college kids or what wearing his t-shirts with his face on it and not understanding what he was part of and what he represented, right?
Mm.
Is that an issue? Like these kind of things, because it's not about their race or anything, but it's about what they have done or what they've done as human beings that should, unite us against, their actions, right?
Mm.
So I think your example of I won't say the name,
the Kway Teow store.
Yeah, the Kway Teow store. it's clearly, in some ways it's quite clearly racist, right?
Mm.
In some ways. And so you're almost baiting people into
it's a derogatory term on its own.
But this one is it's you. Maybe you don't want to celebrate the life of the mobster, but if someone wants to celebrate the life of a mobster thousands of miles away from where he was from, it's their prerogative to do so, right? Don't you think?
I guess that's why the ambassador himself said it is. It's certainly not illegal. It is just of a dubious taste.
Yeah.
So I think he's fair to say that. Again, he didn't raise it up to the authorities, and didn't even file a police report or something. So it feels like just a comment, a statement.
But I mean, and then the other aspect of it is the hip-hop mafioso. Apparently, mafioso is a genre of hip-hop, like American hip-hop also. That is doesn't necessarily... I mean, obviously... It takes inspiration from mafia activities and everything, right? But it's literally a genre of hip-hop music. And the picture that they used to promote is not exactly Italian people. Snoop Dogg and Tupac. So it kind of places it. When I see a poster like that, the Italian connection didn't happen to me at all, other than the word, the literal word mafioso. Everything else I thought was like, okay, it's hip-hop night, right? And so... it does feel like that one's a bit of a stretch in terms of taking offense to that, to me.
I didn't know that's a genre in and of itself, man.
It is. So does that change what you think about having a hip-hop mafioso night?
The connection of hip-hop mafioso has ties to mafia.
Correct.
So that means it's still in some way celebrating the mafia.
But then, again, you know, it's like, where does that end? Because like all of hip-hop, if you really understand the history of hip-hop, it started from the gangs. So you tell me anyone who listens to Post Malone now is celebrating gang violence. That's what I'm saying. You can take offense at any form of art if you try and trace back like where it came from all the way, you see?
Yeah.
So it's like, even this one already, it was already just seeing Tupac and Snoop Dogg, I'm like, okay, I know what it is already. But then suddenly there's this link that is being like, oh, because it's held at this restaurant and all that is mafia thing and everything.
I mean, maybe it's also because, so this is again speculation, Mr. Dante, who is the ambassador, right? Yeah. He's also Italy's ambassador to Brunei. And he was appointed the consul general of Italy in Ho Chi Minh, Vietnam. So it might just be the case where, this is really not that big an issue. But it's like what we were saying earlier, as a diplomat, as an ambassador, you kind of need to be the one to just point out certain things. Because if you don't, then it doesn't look good on you also. Maybe it's just the case that in Southeast Asia, you want to just... express your sentiments towards certain things.
Correct.
So you can be consistent throughout.
It's kind of like, you know, in Singapore, if someone reports anything to the police, they have to investigate. Complain about neighbor, make noise, complain about kids running. They have to go check it out. So recently, I mean, not on a side note, I think recently there was an article about the US ambassador to Singapore, where apparently there was they have like report cards that are published to the public. And it made the news because it wasn't very positive about the US ambassador's role and everything. So maybe, I don't know, maybe there's some kind of like internal KPIs or something that need to be met. Like one Facebook post, you know, calling out like a dubious sounding restaurant every month and everything like that.
Or maybe if he just has people pinging him.
Yeah.
Like you imagine you're ambassador to Singaporean ambassador to the US and you have a bunch of Singaporeans in the US, Terrence. Yeah. Why this one, this English bar got these drinks that make do this.
Correct.
Then you also maybe like, I just say something like, you know.
Correct.
Yeah. And I mean, it's just funny because like this thing mafioso, you know, like over the weekend also we had some very first thought to be gang related raid that happened, but in the end we all know they were not gangsters. Right?
What were they, Terrence? They were ACS boys.
ACS boys.
Correct.
So funny. So it's just funny. But
that's it. Like, so for you as a Singaporean, like what would you see overseas, like a restaurant, you know, a restaurant set up that calls itself like Singaporean restaurant celebrating something, what would piss you off enough that you would want to like go and report to the ambassador and everything? Like if they said like chili crab is not a Singaporean dish, it's Malaysian.
Maybe if they have like sections where only Indian people can sit here. You cannot sit with a family of four Indian, must have one Indian, one Malay, one Chinese, one others.
But that doesn't even exist in Singapore. This is such an exaggeration of...
Yeah, so in this case, it would have to be an exaggeration. Even that, I wouldn't piss me off. I'll find it fucking hilarious.
So yours is like forced segregation will make you unhappy.
Or maybe like you can only eat while being bent over with your pants down and someone caning you.
It's like a bit of a BDSM thing to it. Like.
Yeah, maybe. La.
Singapore cane. Yeah. I told you before, right? Like there literally is a weapon that is used in WWE called the Singapore cane.
Oh, yeah.
Like professional wrestling has a cane that they call the Singapore cane because of what we did to Michael Faye back in the day. La, right?
But so, what about you? What would you see?
Probably, it's very little that would like offend me about Singapore if someone else did overseas. I'll find it funny probably, but nothing to the point where, wow, like need to post this on TikTok to generate anger. Like, I think recently in New York, I think Ketanya, influencer or actress influencer, she found a bar in New York called Singlish. And apparently it's like, it's got drinks named after Singlish words.
BTO and stuff, right?
Hilarious, right? You know, people are talking about it, them funny and everything. Maybe they're mocking how we speak and all, but it's funny.
It's funny.
If you're going to hang your business on something like that, you know, all the best. Do it for yourself, you know? Even if it's making fun of us or whatever. But yeah, I don't think in particular there's anything that would really drive the outrage. But there's one thing that I do see that I think I would be a bit more careful about, right? I see sometimes on roads and all that, people have car decals of the Japanese Imperial flag, right? On their cars and everything. Very specifically the rising sun rays and everything. It's outright, there's a Japanese Imperial flag, right? Not that it offends me directly, but It definitely does have, because there are literally still survivors of Japanese occupation here and all that, who apparently, like, even that, I think recently there was an article that they can't eat sushi, they can't believe that Singaporeans like to travel to Japan and watch Japanese shows, and they could get quite offended by these kind of things. So not saying that we shouldn't be using it, but if you're going to do it, you understand the history behind it. Because I think there are other parts of Southeast Asia where I've traveled before where you have to be a lot more sensitive about what exactly you're portraying or saying. Say, for example, in Cambodia and things like that. They tend to, you know, when they talk about a lot of the things that happened in the past in their country, they're actually quite like, oh, you got to be careful. Don't say it out loud and stuff like that. Not that you offend someone and they complain on social media, but literally you are bringing up very traumatic events from the past that still have undercurrents and effects on society today, right?
Yeah.
And it could be misconstrued as you trying to stir shit and get you in trouble otherwise, right?
Yeah. And that's why I think, I mean, thankfully, our history is not as traumatic as other countries because we're also very young.
I mean, we have World War II. We were subject to World War II.
But you know, like the ones that have trauma over centuries.
Oh, yeah.
That one is like different. So I think in Singapore, also because like I don't have, if I had relatives who were survivors from there and I have a much closer experience of talking to someone who actually survived those horrors, I think I would be a lot more triggered. The thing is because I am like my grandparents are not around anymore. So it feels a bit more removed.
Correct.
Yeah.
Because I off the article as well, I saw online that people are saying that Singaporeans who enjoy traveling to Japan and going there as a location, they said they visited the Yasukuni Shrine, which is a shrine in Tokyo which commemorates Japan's war dead. And some people said they walked out there and they were furious. And these are people who love Japanese culture, love to eat and everything. But they just couldn't take what was going on, what was being communicated in the shrine. Which makes me very curious to go in and look at it, you know, and see what is there. But it really tells you like people from different cultures, they react to these kind of things differently as well, right? So that's why I can't also say definitively to the ambassador, this Italian ambassador, that who cares about what you're saying, you know? Because maybe some families in Italy are really affected by this mob family.
And maybe some Italian families in Singapore themselves have also been affected by it.
Yeah.
And we never know.
So
that's why, can't blame him for posting that.
Yeah.
And I guess good for the restaurant to apologize. But I don't think they'll be changing their name. Maybe less events like that.
The event, the Hip Hop Mafioso event?
As in events like that in future, I don't think they will organize any more like that.
But their name itself is something... That one I think is, that's the bigger problem.
That one is tough.
Like if a Hip Hop Mafioso event took place at Old Chang Kee or something like that, it would be like whatever. Like, yeah, it's funny, yeah, correct, it's weird, right? But you wouldn't make a noise about it.
Yeah, correct. So, I mean, I think the news have reached out to Gotti, but no statement yet. That's why I think this thing will just close like this.
No big diplomatic spat with Taylor Swift and all.
Correct.
Swiftonomics.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, we're talking about one restaurant. And now we also, there are other topics also about restaurant, but not necessarily about a Singaporean restaurant, but actually a fast food chain in the US, right? But why is it relevant to us?
Because, I mean, it had to do with fast food, and fast food is almost everywhere in the world.
Yeah.
And it was the dubious case of the burger chain Wendy's, because during an investor call in February, the CEO, Kirk Tanner, mentioned that, you know, they were going to be trialing dynamic pricing. And it was mentioned like that, like dynamic pricing and day part offers. So after that, there were a number of news outlets that picked up on it, and people started losing their minds about the what dynamic pricing meant. And then slowly it evolved to surge pricing. Which, I mean, everyone probably has like bad taste if you've used ride sharing apps like Uber or Grab.
Yeah.
Surge pricing is when things are super busy and the prices surge.
Yeah.
You know? So there was all this talk about how, you know, they want to boycott Wendy's because how can you do that to food? Essentially, you're charging more when people are hungry.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of debate, and recently Wendy's came out and said that it was more for dynamic pricing, not surge pricing. So to test, you know, like giving discounts more during the day during low peak periods. And there was an article on CNA that came out that just talked about it in the local context. And I mean, there's been a lot of debate about dynamic pricing on both sides of the coin. But what made you want to talk about this?
I mean, now surge pricing is like everyone understands the concept really, right? It doesn't shock us anymore. But it's interesting how when talking about food specifically, like the actual food and not like the delivery of the food or anything like that, people get really riled up. The response has prompted like the CEO and Wendy's itself to have to come out and clarify, probably has, I mean, there are a lot of calls for boycott and stuff like that, but I also don't know how real those are. But in some ways, like, yeah, maybe that's the future that we're headed towards, right? Where there's dynamic pricing for everything.
But this one also, it felt like a more emotional than, wouldn't say like a rational, like
the response, I guess.
Yeah, the response. Because, I mean, in some way, okay, like that surge pricing would suck, right?
Yeah.
But at the same time, it would incentivize or maybe lower the price for people who eat off-peak, which might not be a bad thing.
Yeah.
And also, like, I think maybe it's because food is such a, how you say, a primal thing that so many people enjoy. And it is something you need to survive, essentially, right?
Yeah.
Because this dynamic pricing, surge pricing, is we already experience it in many, many things. Not just like Grab or Uber. You go to the gym, or you want to watch movies also, there is this concept of different pricing throughout the day. But this one just felt like because it was food and because the communications, like we'll never know what they actually meant by dynamic pricing.
Their
clarification was that it's only to...
Downwards.
Yeah. But you always know that there's always a chance it could go upwards.
In fact, I would say the interesting thing is that Wendy's, their blog post, does not mention the word dynamic pricing at all. In terms of their clarification, they just said that it was the initiative that they're pushing out is digital menu boards, which give them more flexibility to change the display of featured items. So this was misconstrued in media reports as an intent to raise prices when demand is highest in our restaurants. We have no plans to do that. It would not raise prices when the customers are visiting us the most. So yeah, they're like, what you're saying is, they say it's just purely downwards. What do you think of that?
I think it's bullshit.
Why?
I mean, just... when it comes to big-ass corporates, multinational companies, I think I'm more skeptical. Like, it's almost like, okay, you're going to do something that maximizes profits unless you prove otherwise, as opposed to the other way around.
I mean, primarily, like what you said, the CEO, Kirk Tanner, he's quite new, right, in the role. he's sitting on an earnings call. And having worked in finance and anyone who follows it, you know that this earnings call, they don't ask you about, oh, what are you doing to make the customer experience better?
Yeah.
They're asking you, how are you going to make more money for us now and in the future? That's all they want to know. That's what the analysts are asking.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're bringing up the idea of, like, you know, dynamic pricing and you don't clarify what direction that is, very clearly you're sort of like telling investors, we're going to use this to make more money, you know.
But why not cost savings, Terrence? Because even on Reddit Singapore, someone who used to work at Burger King, they said during peak hours last time, they would prepare burgers in advance sometimes but after that, if there are certain burgers that are unsold, after 30 minutes, they have to dispose it for health standards. And they said if there was some sort of surge pricing involved, it might help to move some of this. Yeah.
But that's where it's interesting. The words dynamic pricing and surge pricing are different, right?
Mm.
I think dynamic pricing tells you it could go up, it could also go down. Surge is like there's a base level, and when demand is high, then it goes up.
Yeah,
the word surge doesn't indicate that it goes down, right?
Mm-mm-mm.
So that's where, like, I think maybe in some ways, Wendy's, they were maybe misquoted as saying that, you know, that it's surge pricing as opposed to dynamic pricing.
Yeah,
but in the absence of real clarity in what they were saying, I still think that the fact that they say on an earnings call that it's all about making more money, and true that there might be ways that you could benefit. You go to the supermarket at 7 p.m. or 6 p.m. Sushi is usually at half price, right? Bread is also cheaper from bakeries late in the day.
Cakes and all.
But you don't call that surge pricing, right? You call that discount, it's discounted. It's you don't call it dynamic pricing. You call it it's not fresh. That's why they're selling it a lower price, right?
Yeah.
You don't call it surge pricing, but the fact that they chose to use the word dynamic pricing and you know everything tells me that they had something different in mind,
Because. I mean, on one hand, I think quite a few analysts and editorials were pointing out that it might just be a comms thing. Because in some way, what you're saying, what is implied by surge pricing is like, okay, let's say the price of a burger is $5.
Yeah.
It might increase to $7.
Yeah.
But if they just increase the price of the burger to $7,
yeah,
and then they say during the day, you know, sometimes we'll offer this burger for $5,
yeah,
suddenly it sounds like a fucking good deal.
Yeah.
Right, it sounds like, wow, this, you know, Wendy's is awesome. They really care about the customer.
Yeah.
But the price increase to $7 doesn't matter. They're giving discounts.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, so it feels like, I mean, on an earnings call, because earnings calls, given Wendy is so big, I think it's public earnings calls.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right, you can listen in. So then, if it's a comms thing that was misconstrued, then it just feels unfortunate. But there was probably some intend to play with increased prices and all that.
Yeah. I mean, don't you think that philosophically there's something different about surge pricing for private hire vehicles like Uber and Lyft or Grab versus surge pricing for food?
Oh yeah, I think there is.
There is, right? Yeah. Because what you mentioned earlier about raising prices to $7 and then selling for $5, I think we understand prices do increase, materials do increase, but they don't move so dramatically, right? They're not like, oh, tomorrow, now the price is of beef is higher, so for the next hour I will sell at a higher price like that.
But you go to a restaurant, they're like, oh, market value of the fish.
Market value, so you understand that, okay, now this is what you pay for in the market and it costs more, right?
Yeah.
But it doesn't, by the hour, it doesn't change. Whereas for like private hire vehicles or food delivery, there's a limited number of drivers on the road. There's outright, you know, that there's only that many drivers. And when demand is high, there's fewer drivers, so you need to pay more to incentivize them to come to you, right? So I think people can get around that. But then if when it comes to food, especially something like fast food that's meant to be affordable, that's part of the sales. That's what they're selling, affordable food, right? When that suddenly is able to change dynamically, I don't think people can take that philosophical leap, that food prices can change dynamically compared to the demand for drivers and everything. So I think there is a real difference there in how people view Uber, Lyft, Grab versus actual food prices.
But at the same time, if you think about lunch as a 1 hour period where there's a finite amount of burgers that can be served.
Mm.
So why not keep it for the people who can afford.
Exactly. So then it becomes a different thing. I think that's where it becomes you are artificially limiting supply so that you can charge higher prices.
But there cannot be an infinite supply of burgers, right?
Not infinite, lah, but you would be able to project somewhat, right? Like, correct, based on how many I sell.
But how is it very different from like the finite number of cars you have on the road?
Because cars, you can't just like order more overnight and then they
correct.
Just
you
come
can
back.
You can order more, but yeah. Every Wendy's you have the same number of staff,
yeah.
The same number of burgers that can be cooked simultaneously. There yeah. is a max amount of burgers you can serve during lunch hour.
Yeah, yeah. yeah.
So it's finite, right?
So I would say also that then it's because things like cars on the road, like private hire vehicles, even to some extent, concert tickets also surge pricing, right?
Mm.
These are ultimately luxury items, right?
Mm.
Compared to a Wendy's burger. It's something that people eat to feed themselves for a meal, a cheap meal. So people view these things very differently. Like, you can choose not to take private hire vehicle. You can choose not to go and watch Taylor Swift concert. But food, you kind of have to eat food 3 times a day. And if the options for affordable stuff is now being like dynamically priced based on like how hungry you are and everything, then it feels like you're really like messing with human necessity.
So let's say it's in the context of Singapore, where yeah. I would argue that fast food at the prices are, they're not the cheapest option.
They're not, yeah.
Right. So are you saying that dynamically priced fast food in Singapore will be more palatable? Because in some way, it is a nice to have.
But it's not that much more expensive than like even like eating a hawker center nowadays. Like,
I mean, $5 meal. You look at a McDonald's meal or the $5 meal.
It's a $5 meal now, yeah. Or you don't even need to buy the full meal or anything. You can, it is, I mean, and this is the value of McDonald's meals, right? The calorie per dollar that you get from McDonald's is actually very high compared to other types of food.
So what if
not saying that McDonald's is good, yeah.
So what if it's like, okay, mid-range eateries? Or is it you're saying dynamic pricing for food, right, as a whole is you cannot stomach it?
I mean, in some ways, when you go to mid-range or high-end restaurants already, that is like dynamic pricing on a long-term scale already, right? Like you
but not day-to-day, lah.
So not hour-to-hour, day-to-day, yeah. where you know that the car demand for cars does surge up and down per hour and everything. But when you order your burger, you know that they ordered a certain number of burgers that day itself, and they put them in the fridge and they decided to cook how many that day and all that. You know that it doesn't surge except by how much they want to make it, how much they want to charge you, in this case, of pricing. So I think that might be what pisses people off, that you artificially limit supply so that you can squeeze up more money from each
But that's
customer.
Assuming they're artificially supplying, artificially limiting the supply.
Yeah. But you would be right by such pricing.
No, like let's say you maxed out already.
Oh, then just sold out, lah. Why need to search the price?
Because that would offset the lower prices you can sell after the peak hour. So you can get a burger for $3 instead of $5 if you're willing to eat at 3 p.m.
Then I would say the expectation would be for them to just have a certain number of burgers to sell. You want to sell cheaper, can. But then don't charge higher for different hours.
Then you're too idealistic.
I mean, that's what everyone is. I'm not saying that that's not the future that we're headed towards, but I'm saying that that's probably why psychologically everyone's reacting so badly to this Wendy's thing also.
I think if for me the bigger issue why it's tough to stomach is because with Grab or taxis, right, there's always a variable with regards to where you're going from point A to point B. So when the prices of a Grab journey are not consistent, it's almost something you're prepared for. Can you imagine if you have this burger you want to eat, but you don't know what price it is?
Yeah.
It's now when the situation arises where we need to order food from the delivery apps, right? I actually hate the experience. Because, I will also look at, okay, what are on discount? And then I go down this fucking spiral where I'm like, oh my God, which is the biggest discount that you add, then suddenly the price, the delivery price, and I hate that whole process.
Yeah.
Whereas if you go to a place that you normally eat chicken rice and all, you see on the thing is $5, you're like, okay, there's consistency. I think with meals, because generally people have multiple meals a day, if it's everything is a calculation, right, then it becomes very tiring.
So it's because it's tiring for people, that's why they
don't want it. I mean, tiring is one thing, then it also becomes like, because food is so essential to surviving, then it becomes like, this is almost like a necessity, and you're having, it's a very laborious process.
Yeah.
And
But you just said it, right, that then you just go later when it's not so crowded, and you know that it will be cheaper.
Yeah.
Isn't that, okay, like they say, could they just literally blanket say, you come between the hours of 12 to 2, you pay $7. Any other time, you pay 5. You come after 5 p.m., you
That one might $3. Be a good middle ground.
Right. Then it is like, not say surge pricing, but you know exactly how much it is at a certain point.
So would I be against that? I don't know, man. I might be up for that. No?
Yeah. It's those people who go and queue up for the half price sushi at the supermarket and all.
Yeah.
They can accommodate the desire to eat immediately. They know how to choose to eat a bit later.
Yeah.
And they get a good deal for it.
And right? In some way, you know, I've heard some people say that, you know, like if you're working 9 to 5, you only have like 11 to 12 or 12 to 1 to eat.
Yeah.
Then I'm like, okay, but working 9 to 5, you get a lot of other perks that a role where maybe you got a lot more freedom running your own business or freelancers.
Yeah.
Freelance life. There's a lot of things that you have to deal with. Like. So if a perk is you can get cheaper burgers, not a clear no for me, you know.
Yeah. I mean ultimately that's what happy hours are about, right?
Oh yeah, happy hours, yeah.
To incentivize people to come during the non-peak hours.
Yeah.
And have a
even gym, trip. Right? Gym, transport, flights, everything is there. Maybe that is the new era, you know?
Yeah.
Like if you're willing to pay a certain amount for this burger you love during lunch, then you pay. But for people who are like, I'm okay having it a bit later, why not? I mean, even for us, when we are in the studio, we go for lunch maybe with 1+ to avoid the lunch crowd.
Yeah.
So in some way, it's a luxury we have. But of course, there's a lot of like things about running your own business that office worker does not have to deal with.
So you
trade off.
Correct. But I guess also people are very angry because of it is fast food, right?
Mm.
And the expectation of fast food is that you know exactly how much what you're getting and you're not paying extra for something just because you choose to eat it at a certain time or something.
Yeah.
So it's sort of asking people to change their relationship with fast food, which has pissed off a lot of people.
And fast food, I think, holds a very dear place in many people's hearts.
It does.
Interesting. And this one, I first saw it when it first came out. Mm-hmm. But interesting the way it has unfolded. But it might just be a sign of things to come.
Correct. But in some sense, when you buy Chinese New Year cookies or whatever, they're really expensive at the start of the Chinese New Year.
And it's annoying, right?
Yeah. And then, but the day before Chinese New Year itself, everything going for half price or less already.
Yeah.
So, but I guess at the same time, you know that the stuff is not as fresh as it was on the first day, right?
Mm.
It's probably been sitting there on the shelf for a while already. And so you are paying for something less fresh.
And that one is surge pricing because there's never a chance where it goes, like bakwa doesn't suddenly become damn cheap.
Yeah.
Right? There's a baseline bakwa.
Yeah.
And then there's Chinese New Year bakwa. So it doesn't go both ways.
Yeah, haircuts also. During Chinese New Year, you pay a premium for to go to a haircut because there's higher demand and all. There are a lot of instances of this so-called surge pricing that we have in our day-to-day, but maybe not by the hour. This period you pay more, but not like literally this hour you pay
more. Can you imagine you want to buy chai peng also? You're like, what? Today the chili chicken is like fucking $2 or $3.
Yeah. But in some ways, there's surge portions, right?
Oh yeah, surge portions.
Like if you go towards the end of the day, they usually just empty out the plate onto your thing, and you get more, right?
Yeah.
So you're not paying. In fact, you get more, so actually it's a good thing,
Exactly. Yeah. There's never a chance where it's rare that they give you less during peak hours, right?
Correct. Yeah.
So I mean, interesting, just to see how this unfolded.
Yeah.
Not coming to Singapore anytime soon, I think.
Is Wendy's even in Singapore? No, right?
Last time there was.
It was, right? But not anymore. So at least not for now.
Yeah, man.
But I mean, some people did point out in Reddit comments also that Don Don Donki has some kind of differential pricing, even between stores and everything already, right?
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Like the same product, the same from Don Don Donki, will cost different in different stores.
Oh, really?
Yeah, just based on demand and everything also.
Oh. I mean, you have that with McDonald's and stuff like that, right? Like at Mandai, McDonald's,
correct.
Yeah, so, I guess this one, because it's one of those things that it felt like a blanket across Wendy's, and Wendy's has, I don't know how many hundreds, if not thousands of outlets around the US. If it was a smaller chain, maybe people would give less of a shit.
But okay.
Cool, man.
Just speaking of outrage.
outrage.
What is your one short comment? Or maybe we can just talk about the whole series of them, right?
Yeah. So my one short comment, there's no one comment. But basically, going back to what we said earlier about this weekend, us posting excerpts from the on social media from the podcast last week where we talked about Taylor Swift. Certain clips were maybe a bit trying to be a bit more objective or even critical of certain things that Taylor Swift and her team did, lah. And with that, especially on TikTok, the comments that came out are golden, lah.
Yeah.
Like, it's just golden. So on this one video where we were talking about, you know, maybe Taylor Swift could do more to engage with the locals. You know, Ed Sheeran did Teh Tarik, Coldplay had local acts. Why Taylor Swift never do anything? Well, I'll just read off some of the comments that, it really made me laugh. Let's see. Always this kind of man, lah. We figured you out. We all got crowns. You need to calm down.
What does it mean, you all got crowns?
I think they're just shitting on us as men shitting on women.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, then another one, Kanina, come perform for a concert or need to do charity for your mother. Why is it always middle-aged men who have achieved nothing criticizing a successful woman?
Yeah.
Let's see. What else? Bros decided to choose violence for vitality, praying for you guys. Old grumpy men love to complain at a coffee shop.
Yeah.
Wow, I love this, man.
Mm-mm.
Chill, lah. Don't use her for your channel's engagement. Have a think about crowd control and security.
Mm.
Whew. What were some highlights for you?
I think a lot of those you mentioned.
Yeah.
But there were a couple of positive ones also. Mm. People who dared to go against the grain.
Mm.
Who dared to speak their minds against the mob.
Mm.
Pun intended. On Instagram, I think the post where we talked about who's to blame for this bad blood between Singapore and our neighbours, right?
Mm.
I think a point that you made there was that it's how about Taylor Swift's own team, right? Mm. You haven't heard anything from them about this. So there was a comment, completely agree on this. It was an economic decision from our government, but a clear business and profit decision for Tay Tay and her team. I don't blame them, but I think the government has borne the brunt of the backlash more than her, and that isn't fair.
Mm.
So, you know, some people willing to be open-minded to think beyond their own biases and acknowledge that there are points that people can think about in this issue. Yeah. So I'm very happy to see this kind of comments where people think for themselves.
Throwing shit, Terrence.
I hope that these comments are not representative of like Swifties. I met a lot of people who went for the concerts, you know. They're just like regular folks, you know.
Yeah.
But there's always this like really crazy loud minority that makes us that tries to silence people who say anything otherwise.
But they give some great comments.
They do. Maybe the next video we need to make is we announced that we're quitting social media because of bullying by Swifties on social media. Mm. Right? Someone did that with BTS, the BTS army last time.
Yeah.
An influencer did that.
Yeah.
Back in the day.
Great.
But keep them coming. Keep the comments
coming. And if you want to see the comments, just head on over to our TikTok, man.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay, what about your one short thing, man?
My one short thing was a video recently that it's from the YouTube channel. What's it? What's this YouTube channel? Sorry. It's just crashing. CBS Sports Golazzo, where Thierry Henry talks about how Mbappe's incredible finish in the goal that he scored this week in the Champions League. And he talked about, as a striker, one-on-one with the keeper, thinking about how to, you know, position your body to curl the ball around the goalkeeper. And he goes into quite specifics, like he demonstrates the specifics of like what Mbappe did that was so amazing that even he as a striker back in the day also like... it's not easy to perfect. So yeah, it was just it's literally titled Thierry Henry's Incredible Masterclass on Kylian Mbappe's Finishing. So it was just a very good watch, and he just talks about how you use your body to, you know, to fake people in certain directions and all. And so I thought it was fascinating because you're hearing it from someone who
a legend
himself, right? And then when you see him explain it, then you realize, oh shit, these things are these decisions that I'm making are literally being done in like microseconds. That's what's amazing.
I think once he also said like how Arsene Wenger changed his game. He said for a longest time he was expecting quality service and the same kind of service from all the players, the midfielders. Yeah. And he said it was Arsene Wenger who told him, you should expect things depending on the player. Mm. Then he went on to say, you know, if he was playing with Dennis Bergkamp, he knows wherever he makes the run, right, Bergkamp will send the ball.
Yeah.
For Freddie Ljungberg, he has to run within Freddie Ljungberg's eye of sight.
Okay.
And then he'll get the ball. For Robert Pires, it was always about a 1-2. Then, the same thing. You listen, these people are not just physically talented, but there's so much going on in the head. It's crazy, man. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Cool. My one stroke thing is this series I just started watching called Foundation, which is an Apple TV series. And it's sci-fi because I felt I needed a sci-fi fix. And it's a series based on the Foundation series of books written by Isaac Asimov. And it's one of those like very huge world-building kind of stories. And it's set like 20,000 years into the future where there is an empire or an emperor that controls like the galaxy and has kind of not say enslaved a lot of the galaxy, but it's at a point where they've been in power for 12,000 years. Like the emperor, his heir is a genetic clone of Himmler. And at any point in time, there are three of them, one old, one middle-aged, one young, and they kind of maintain the peace. But then there's this one scientist who says that with all the data points he has studied over the past 30 years of human civilization, the empire will fall within 500 years.
Okay.
And he is petitioning to build this foundation of knowledge so that humanity can rebuild itself. So it's now all the politics in the middle. It's quite, it's a slow build, but I'm towards the end of the first season and enjoying it. Enjoying it. Cool.
There's a lot of good sci-fi coming out soon.
We were just talking about this before, right?
Yeah.
Fallout. What else? The three body problem.
Yeah, Fallout's not really sci-fi per se, lah. It's more like, I don't know, video game adaptation. Yeah.
But yeah, cool, man.
Cool.
Awesome.
So as always, if you wanna check us out or contact us or work with us on anything, check out ministryoffunny.com.
Ministryoffunny.com.
It's so awesome to say that.
Awesome. But yeah, thanks for listening, everybody, and we'll talk to y'all soon.